The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 167 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and to relentlessly, vigorously, and methodically pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. And as you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we focus on three groups of people: you, them, and me. Today's episode will be focusing on two of them. Specifically, you and me. Well, maybe. You'll see. The You segment, as we know, is all about you. Your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the You part, we have our latest regular feature again, Unscripted Cohorts, where I get hit cold with a question from our cohort. We also have some listener-submitted poetry, of all things. Plus, some great news about ending the opioid crisis. Woohoo! After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster Ken Krawchuk. Typically, I focus on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, although today I'm going to be going instead for some freewheeling conversation about the recent primaries and the National Libertarian Convention that just concluded a couple days ago. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag. It's that role that we call cohort. And today's cohort is making her 19th appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. Wow. She is none other than good old Margaret Sassouni, the past president of the ETS Toastmasters in New Jersey. Welcome back.
Ooh, thank you, Ken.
It has been so long.
Yeah, so long.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah, you know how these things are. Now, you were here last episode, which is why I'm making fun and everything.
Yeah.
And you had mentioned the 25th anniversary of the ETS Toastmasters, of which you were once president.
Yeah, I was the president.
And
yep.
I was
2015 to 2016.
I was once president of that, too.
You were.
It was 99-2000. I was the millennial president.
Yeah, right after Gene.
Right after Gene Schippos, one of the greatest libertarians I ever, not libertarians, Toastmasters.
I was going to say.
Toastmasters I ever met. She was a bit of a conservative Italian lady.
Yeah.
And it showed. Man, oh,
oh
man.
Oh, my goodness.
She'd talk with her hands. And sometimes she'd smack me upside the head when I deserved it. Oh, I love Jean. More than any other Toastmaster, she may be the public speaker I am today.
Yeah, I have to agree.
She once threatened to nail my feet to the floor if I didn't stop dancing around when I talked.
Right.
And I never forgot that. But we just celebrated our 25th anniversary. It was, to be precise, last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, okay.
And I was there. You weren't. Where the heck were you, girl, past president?
I was not there because, Ken, I started a new job and I can't duck out.
Quit. You're trying to get me going. I can see it. I'm gonna duck that one completely.
I couldn't duck out. Plus, I was going to be scheduled for a routine procedure that they would have to put me under, but that got canceled. Because my insurance said they wouldn't pay for it. I had to wait for another 6 months. So thank God I called the insurance company the night before to find out if they were going to cover it. And they said, I was scheduled and everything to go in the next day in the morning. And they said, no, they weren't going to cover it.
Well, you're not an Obamacare person. You're under the health share plans, aren't you?
Health share, yes.
And they wouldn't cover it.
Exactly. You remembered.
Yeah.
You remembered. Yeah, even with health share, they said I had to be a member at least 12 months for 12 months.
I remember your birthday.
You do.
Yeah, it was the day you were born.
So, yes, I'm sorry I missed it.
I am, too.
But I am glad they took photos. I even asked Thane, the president, to Photoshop me in, which...
Cheater. There were a lot of long-lost people there.
Really?
Yeah, Elliot Dennis, George Shearer, our initial club sponsors, the ones who got us started.
Wow.
Yeah. I still see Elliot all the time. I haven't seen George in a while. Mm-hmm. Many other past presidents were there beside you. Probably the most impressive one was Mary Lou Hairston.
Yes.
You know?
Mary Lou, yeah.
I know. She was an inspiration.
The night before, to see if I was coming.
Another one from back in the old days. You probably don't know any of these people.
No, I don't know the...
Debbie Chadwick?
No.
Yeah, she's good. Well, you do know Tanya.
Tanya was there.
Yeah.
Amkar was there.
Amkar's current treasurer. He's not like
he's
one.
He's still a treasurer. Okay.
He's not somebody like you who's been missing for 5 years.
Well, yes, he's still going.
I just renewed my membership.
For the ETS one?
Yeah. I'm going.
Then you're a member of the some other ones.
Yeah, I'm a member of the in-person Toastmasters
in
Club.
In-person, yes.
In Colmar.
With Gina? Is Gina part of that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Gina is a narrator here. She's made commercials. I haven't gotten on as a cohort yet. I'd love to. She's real good.
Is she being shy?
No, Gina. We both know Gina. She is shy. Is the word
shy
I've
or
never,
busy? Which one?
I've never heard the word shy used to get in her. Yeah. I'm also a member of the Drexel Speaks
yes,
Club.
Yes, so you're still doing
Drexel.
Those.
Mm-hmm. And I'm also, for another couple weeks, the president of the Positively Charged Club.
Okay.
And today I got an email. They're inviting me to be the District 38 parliamentarian for the new term.
Oh.
I tell you, I love Toastmasters. I'm more than happy to give back. If somebody says, Ken? I was like, yes. Why? What do you want?
Yeah.
That's it.
There's some things that you won't say no to.
I know.
Yeah.
Toastmasters is wonderful. Everybody should do it. You know, we should run a commercial for Toastmasters.
You think?
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Let's get rolling here. We're already over time.
Oh, yeah. What are we doing? Reading
what are we
mail?
Doing? No. Well, you could do a cohort question if you want, or we could skip it and just go to the mail.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Maybe. You're an IT geek, right? Should I ask you something geek related?
Yeah. Pascal. My favorite language is Pascal.
Oh, wow.
And I've done assemblers and COBOL and Fortran 4. Basic, Visual Basic.
Visual Basic, yeah.
EBA.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own websites. You go out to atlassnub.com. I did that website.
So my question, I guess, was why I was driving over here and I heard that there was another social media platform that they put on for kids.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, has Ken ever thought of an app that you wanted to put out there? I mean, if you're really thinking about one, don't tell us. But if you were just thinking and not going to make it happen, just...
Well, the short answer is no.
Yeah.
Long answer is no.
No, you never thought of an app that you could put out there.
No.
Do we have a need for an app?
Actually, I did put one out there.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's still live. It's called Checkpoint Minutemen. Whenever any of us hear of a DUI checkpoint, we all have our own signs, reflective tape and everything like that. We have a call tree and a text tree and everything like that. And it lets everybody know where it is and when it is, and those who can get there, go there. But that's another story. I mean, I worked a DUI checkpoint, and twice, matter of fact.
Hmm.
And the first one I went to, 8 people were hauled away in irons, and not one of them was drunk.
Really?
And
I thought that was the prerequisite. You had to be
No.
drunk.
I asked the testing officer that after they took the first guy away. I said, wait a minute. This guy's not drunk. What's the deal?
But something else.
Honest to God, the cop said to me, you don't have to be drunk to be over the limit.
Oh.
I said, what are we doing out here then?
Oh, they don't check just for alcohol.
No, the guy was, he was like 0.081 or something like that. I mean, he's just over the edge.
Hmm.
And the thing was, there was one guy who came in and he was trashed.
Yeah.
He got away.
The trash guy?
He wouldn't answer any questions. He wouldn't participate. He wouldn't do anything. His dad came and drove home.
Oh.
All the other ones, the other 8, they were put in the back of a police car in handcuffs, taken away. Why am I a libertarian, people say? You can't just let this stuff go.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to wind up taking up all the time talking about that.
Let's
anyway.
Let's go to our mail.
So there's an app. Let's go to our mail.
Marlene from Cheltenham, Pennsylvania.
Well, you know what? She's the poet. Let's skip her.
Let's skip Marlene.
We'll bring her in episode 168.
All right.
Marlene, if you're listening, my apologies. We'll get to then.
Yes, Marlene. Very impressive. Anyway, Ralph McKittrick from Slatington, Pennsylvania.
You pronounced it correctly this time. Thank you. This is Ralph's been around. I guess this is like a fifth or sixth time.
You pronounced his name before really well, so I'm just copying. Looks like you have a convert north of the border about ending the opioid crisis. Portugal has come to Canada.
Yeah, I have trouble saying opioid as well. I have trouble typing it too. Anyway, my first reaction when I heard that was woo effing who.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ralphie, for sending this in. I was not aware. I mean, you mentioned Portugal. I mentioned Portugal in detail way back in episode 10, then again in episode 77, episode 86.5, and episode 89, not to mention numerous occasional references. And when he says Portugal's come to Canada, for those not aware, Portugal has found a way to reduce opioid use by 75%, reduce opioid deaths by 85%, and reduce HIV infections by more than 90%. And now Canada has adopted their solution. Wow. What was Portugal's solution to the opioid crisis? Can you guess?
Legalizing.
Yes.
Drugs.
They ended their insane war on drugs. Rather than treating drug use as a criminal issue, they treat it as a medical issue. How novel. Why? Because according to Scientific American, 98% of all opioid deaths are accidental. And they come from impurities in the drug itself or from mixing it with other medications accidentally. So what Portugal did was to set up purity testing centers where addicts could test what they bought. And then whenever they stopped by, they would get a free social worker to educate them on the dangers if they were taking other drugs or planned to. And the result in Portugal was a reduction in opioid deaths by 85%. Man.
Thank you for that data.
No, most people don't know this.
People, they don't really talk about the data that's coming out of there too, because I know that they, you know, that's the route that they took, but nobody has really followed up with their statistics of what's going on right there.
2001 was when Portugal decriminalized all drugs. So it's at 20-some years, two decades. That's, this is just like
wow. It feels like it was just yesterday, though.
This is, what, 2001? Good
yeah,
grief.
No, I just remember it being coming out in the news and everybody was like up in arms.
Anyway, so this is not a flash in the pan thing. This is, it's held up the test of time.
Well, that's good.
85% reduction in deaths. Oh, Canada. Wonderful. Well, the details, I went and looked into it. Under that changed law, Canada now allows adults to carry up to 2.5 grams of opioids. It's kind of a lot.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, man. I remember back in my college days, they would sell cocaine by the gram, right? And what? 2.5 is called an 8-ball. It's an eighth of an ounce.
Tell us more.
Well, I was back there in the late 60s, early 70s. I was right in the middle of that drug culture. And yes, I inhaled. And I held it. That's another thing. Anyway, so they can have up to an 8-ball and not be subject to criminal prosecution. Although, oddly enough, well, obviously, using drugs near schools or child care facilities is illegal, but also airports.
Okay, makes sense.
Why do the airports make sense? Like, you know, what am I going to do?
You don't want to slip it to a pilot by accident.
No, the exhaust of the plane is going to blow it away. I don't know. Anyway, so Canada, the quotes is coming from high up. I mean, this is like a libertarian's dream come true. Carol Bennett, two N's, two T's. Canada's Minister of Mental Health and Addiction. She said, quote, "We are granting this exemption because our government is committed to using all available tools that reduce stigma, substance use harms, and continuing to work with the jurisdictions to save lives and end this crisis." Hallelujah.
It's a good thing.
Unquote, by the way. She didn't say hallelujah. I said that. Sadly, Canada's common sense decision is only temporary. They said, let's do this for 3 years and see how it works.
Okay, they want to do the statistics.
Yeah, yeah. But I bet once they're going to see what Portugal saw, and they'll extend it forever.
So, yeah, let's have a follow-up conversation.
85% saving lives. You know, in the U.S. last year, nationwide, over 100,000 overdose deaths. And it's not 2021. 98,000 of them completely unnecessary. 28,000 dead people because of our drug laws. Over 5,000 of those happened in Pennsylvania. That works out to about one every 2 hours, a little bit less than that. So by the time you go to bed tonight, there's going to be several more dead people because of Pennsylvania law. And what's Pennsylvania doing about that? Well, our not-so-beloved Attorney General, John Shapiro, who's also running for governor, by the way, he does not see the light. Instead, he's busy solving the wrong problem. He's been attacking the drug companies. Rather than the flawed, inhumane legislation that he supports so vigorously. You go to his website, it's full of it, about how proud he is about solving the wrong problem and solving it incorrectly. He doesn't see how it's his initiative that's killing people, his drug war, his policies, and he's proud of it? Oh, come on. And this guy wants to be governor? Man, me, I'm definitely going to be voting for Matt Hackenberg, the Libertarian candidate for governor. At least Matt has the common sense and compassion not to kill his own citizens with the law. Oh, man, I could go on and on about how bad this Josh Shapiro guy is, but let me stop here. for start to tell the story of how he lied to me in writing when he was my state rep here in Abington. Mm. I don't know. What do you think, Margaret? Is Canada doing the right thing?
I think they are. Kudos to Canada.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah. I think I'm going to go.
But you don't like people not dying, do you?
Well, yeah, of course I don't want people to
tell it to Josh.
Die, but this has been going on far too long, and I think they're taking it to the right steps because they've had so many people dying over. I don't know what the span of the year was, but I think it's going to be a good thing, especially because Portugal paved the way for it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Every 2 hours here in Pennsylvania, another dead person. Yeah. Thanks for that, Josh.
It's somebody's mother, son, daughter, kid, whatever. It's horrible.
Could even be a cohort.
Yeah.
Anyway, on that northern note, that's going to have to do it for the U portion of episode 167 of the Pennsylvania Project. My apologies, Marlene. I'll get back to you next episode. We're going to pause with this information, and when we return, we'll be talking about the recent Pennsylvania primaries and the Libertarian Party National Convention.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We're here at the Pennsylvania Project, are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one ever votes anymore.
True. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Nah. No. Look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I've got my own radio show. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org. Following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, how's it going?
Could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job, but I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So
what about all the taxes? Federal tax, state tax, this tax, that tax. I have better things to do than figuring out all the tax laws and filling out all those crazy forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's that damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them. And when your client pays them, they pay you minus all the required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes and all the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com. With the 16 spelled out, amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all.
That's why I like Toastmasters. Well done, my lady. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the, I don't know, let's call it the US portion of episode 167 of the Pennsylvania Project. Ordinarily, it would be the me portion of the show where I'd be ranting about something that really sticks in my craw. Except that I've been out of town for the last several weeks and nothing rant-worthy has suggested itself. So instead, we're going to look at some current events, starting with the recent Pennsylvania primary. Now, me, fortunately, I was away for the primary this year, plus a few weeks on either side of it. Wife and I were there in New Orleans at the time, celebrating our 45th wedding anniversary. We had a second-floor balcony room on Bourbon Street.
Never been to Nola.
And man, it was loud, not to mention fun. You've never been there?
No.
I highly recommend it if you're a party
person. I would ask you to bring me a beignet back.
Gesundheit. Two things really stood out for me down there, the food and the music. And the quality of music should go without saying. It's New Orleans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, it was great. And if you don't like one band, just go 10 feet down Bourbon Street, and there's a whole different band doing different music.
Mm.
And the food, of course. You like you like New Orleans type
fried
food?
Fried food, yeah.
Oh, man.
Creole.
Excellent. There was one night where we declared it to be gumbo night.
Oh.
We just went from one restaurant to the other, just the gumbo.
Yeah.
A couple of times. We started about 2 p.m. and we went to late at night.
Oh.
It was great.
A gumbo marathon?
Yeah, just a cup of gumbo at each one. One after the other, after the other, after the other.
I like that.
And that was good. But we took somebody else's advice too. The waitress had a t-shirt on. It said, you can't drink all day if you don't start with breakfast.
Mm.
So we started every day with mimosas and Bloody Mary.
How about hurricanes?
No, I'm a mimosa guy. My wife's a Bloody Mary lady.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. Day after day after day. Now that balcony was really cool because it gave us some rather unusual views.
Of and the street?
One of them was of the morning after. The street, Bourbon Street, was in shambles.
Oh.
Trash, beads, puke, you name it. I mean, it was a mess. And then they had this truck drive down the street each morning and it would hose down the whole street.
Not pick up?
No.
But hose down?
No, hosed it all down. And I guess it all went into the sewers and out into the Mississippi River. I don't know. I don't know what happened to it.
Okay.
Nice of them to do that, you know?
Yeah.
At least I thought so.
At least they come around.
Yeah. No, it's good. I had a great time. Ready to go back again.
Oh,
and
wow.
We took Amtrak, and on the way home, we rode the train. Called the City of New Orleans.
Huh.
And of course, we had to sing the Arlo Guthrie song. We played it and everything. I have a video of our trip out on there, and YouTube put a copyright claim against it because we were playing Arlo Guthrie, City of New Orleans.
Hmm. Is it a walking city? You can
French
get around.
French Quarter is. Yeah. We did nothing but walk.
Mm-hmm. What about a ghost tour? Did you do one of those?
No, we just had.
Do they have carriage rides?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. No, we spent most of our time in the bars and in the music places and on our balcony watching the fun.
Mm, nice.
All right, enough about New Orleans.
Yes.
Because as for the primary, I missed.
Oh.
I'm so disappointed that Josh Shapiro won the governor primary.
Mm-hmm.
I've already mentioned how awful the guy is as attorney general. I expect he'd be worse as governor.
Mm.
And the other guy, the Republican, Mastriano, I don't know a whole lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
He has no gubernatorial website. I wonder what's he hiding.
Oh.
I have no idea about him. I do know that the liberal media is furious with the guy. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a point in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
liberals don't like him. He's my buddy. But I dug into him a bit. I saw he's extreme on abortion. Obviously, he's never heard my solution for the abortion issue. He also thinks that there are problems with the presidential election. And I agree. Mail-in ballots are indeed unconstitutional. And a federal court has already ruled them unconstitutional.
Horrible.
And it gives me a chuckle how the liberal media conveniently ignores that judicial fact and just calls Mastriano an election denier. Well, let me clue you in. So are the courts, right? You call the courts election deniers, and justifiably so, in my humble opinion. Well, gubernatorials aside, there was also that big U.S. Senate race where a TV star is squeakingly ahead at the moment. The recount in progress. Oh. You've been paying attention to that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know who you're talking
about. Yeah, less than 1,000 votes separate the two. By next episode, maybe we'll have the unexciting results.
I saw the commercial for Katie Barnett. Remember?
She came in third. Kathy Barnett. Yeah. She was actually on the show here at Pennsylvania Project. It was episode 82.
I was on the show. I was a cohort then.
Oh.
Show, yeah.
I was impressed with her.
Mm-hmm.
Not impressed enough to vote for her, but you know, I'll be voting for Eric Gerhardt, the Libertarian, of course.
Yes, we know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, the primaries. I don't think we taxpayers should be paying for the two old parties' beauty contests, but I've talked a lot about that one too. I'm not going to get into those details again. Well, enough about the primary. Let's talk politics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when my wife and I got home from New Orleans, we were home only a few days, long enough to stay for the 25th anniversary of the ETS Toastmasters. And then I got in a plane and took off to Reno for the Libertarian Party's National Convention. That was a lot of fun, to be sure. Thousands of people, all Libertarians.
All Libertarians.
Man, oh man. Singing from the same sheet music. And it's also probably the best education you could ever get about Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's all point of order, point of this, point mm-hmm. of that, point mm-hmm. of sit down and shut up. Mm-hmm. Convention was exciting for two reasons. First, the Libertarian Party was taken over by members of the Mises Caucus. Mm. They're a group of libertarians, if you don't know, who, according to Reason.com, are quote-unquote plumb-line libertarians, and I'm a plumb-line guy myself. Founder of the caucus is Michael Heiss, a resident here of Montgomery County, and we've had him here on the show three times, episodes 14, 101, and 112. 14 is the one mostly about Mises, in case you're interested. Michael created an organization that took over the party state by state by state, including Pennsylvania earlier this year, and we had a lot about that. Listen to episode 112 if you want to know why. Well, when we had the national convention, Mises Caucus controlled 70% of the delegates. Well, that's enough to dominate virtually everything. And so that means that all 27 endorsed candidates on the national level won their races. All the platform planks Mises Caucus endorsed, they were all passed. And matter of fact, they kept extending the end, the adjournment of the convention so long that all the audiovisual people went home and the convention concluded with people on bullhorns.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's an indication of how dedicated and powerful the Mises Caucus actually is. And speaking of that, I mean, just look at all the guests he lined up. Ron Paul, I mean, Dave Smith, who's been on the Joe Rogan podcast a million times. Maj Touré, founder of Black Gun Matters. Edward Snowden was there too, virtually, even though Michael did not organize that. Best thing that's ever happened to the party, you know?
Mm.
That was the best thing that happened. Mm. Second best thing that happened is I was elected to the National Party's Judicial Committee.
Oh.
So now I am Judge Kenny.
Seriously?
Yes. Seven libertarians were elected to the Judicial Committee, and I came in second of the seven, and now I'm on the hook for a four-year term.
Congratulations.
Thank you, I guess. So there you have my non-rant, the new us segment, rather than the usual me segment, recent events. I think we may do that a little more often. We may do that. I don't know.
Mm, we'll I like recent events.
I do too. Yeah. On that ambiguous note, that's going to wrap it up for episode 167 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about primary elections, or the Libertarian National Convention, or Canada finally solving their opioid crisis by ending the war on drugs? Just like to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley, featured Toastmaster Cohort, Margaret Sassouni, official bartender Tom Kehoe, keyword wizard Joe the Pag, radio producer Wes Wagner, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if you have to take over America's third largest party to accomplish your goals. Congratulations to Michael Heiss and the Mises Caucus.